to What's Up with Slang Dictionaries, a podcast created for Anya Vonner's Topics of English class. This program talks about lexicography and slang dictionaries, their history, their usefulness, and the benefits of having them. My name is Nora Dahl, and I am the host of this podcast. Today I have with me Scott LaFave, my partner in crime for this project, as well as our consulting expert of dictionaries. Scott, a graduate student in the Applied English Linguistics MA program, has worked on several dictionaries, including the Dictionary of Regional English here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as well as the Historical Dictionary of American Slang in New York City. Hi, Scott, and thank you for serving as our expert today.
Well, thank you.
First of all, I'd like to ask, I think all of us have a general idea or concept of what slang is, but how exactly is slang defined?
Well, first off, a definition is really difficult. According to the OED, slang is a language of highly colloquial type considered as below the level of standard educated speech and consisting either of new words or of current words employed in some special sense. And according to the Historical Dictionary of American Slang, it's an informal, non-standard, non-technical vocabulary composed chiefly of novel-sounding synonyms for standard words and phrases.
Novel sounding. So basically, is that all you have to do then, is create a new word that no one's ever heard of and all of a sudden it's slang?
Well, basically, I would say that slang is non-standard for one and usually considered lowbrow or not acceptable in polite society. And the technical aspects of it change who's defining it, but basically it's that non-standard. And the usage of it suggests an intimate familiarity with the meaning of the slang word. In other words, you wouldn't choose to use a slang word to represent a concept you're not familiar with. And a difference could be seen between slang and dialect words. Basically, with slang, it can be used by all speech communities or only by certain ones. And if it's only used by certain ones, you may want to then call it a vocabulary of that dialect. For instance, the word nigga is used more often in black English than other speech communities, so it sort of belongs to a dialect, though other dialects know of it, they just don't use it as much. But a word like shit, a slang word, is not constricted to a certain community or dialect, and it's used across all speech communities.
So basically, nigga is a word that everyone has access to, but really only a certain type of speech community uses it.
Generally, yeah.
Generally. And whereas shit, everyone has access to and everyone also uses it.
It appears so.
Okay.
Well, basically we can define slang as non-standard or colloquial and can say it's often considered of lesser quality than the standard words that we are taught in schools and that we use in polite and professional conversation in society. And it seems in society that slang is considered almost vulgar and must remain untalked about. And the funny thing is, slang words are used by nearly all, but feared by many.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, I've also heard terms such as cant and jargon being used in the same sense of slang. Are these terms different than slang, or more exactly, how do these terms differ from the definition of slang that you just provided for us?
Cant and jargon seem generally associated with a particular group or job, like the dictionary of that small area. Dialects are generally associated with a particular group, region, race, class, etc. The main difference among all these is that slang isn't limited to a particular group or subset of society, like technical jargon or cant is. Let me give you some examples that help differentiate between these terms.
Okay.
Standard is the term for language that is taught in schools and widely accepted by the academic community. The English taught in elementary schools is an example of a standard language. Non-standard or substandard is the type of language that is not accepted by academia, but it's widely used. For example, in our elementary school English classes, we were taught not to use the word ain't, but outside of class, I'm sure the word was acceptable by our peers, and it's actually in the dictionary now. Dialectical differences in languages are usually based on the geographical or socioeconomic region you grew up in. For example, can you think of any words that are used in your hometown that may not be used in other places?
Oh, well, now that I think of it, I do get strange looks from people sometimes when I ask them where the nearest bubbler is. Apparently, the majority of people like to use the term water fountain for this word, but that's not natural for me.
Yeah, that's a good example of a dialectical word, actually. Cant and jargon are terms that are associated to some sort of particular subject or profession. For example, for phonologists, the term voicing assimilation refers to a specific phenomena in linguistics. Yet to others not belonging to this field, it means nothing. And cant has also been used in the past by secret underground worlds, for example, by thieves and organized crime rings.
So what are some major works of lexicography in English slang? Do they date back very far?
Well, one of the first examples I know of is the Classical Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue, published in 1785. Another notable work published after that included the Dictionary of Slang and Unconventional English in 1937, which consists of documented British slang through historical citations. Okay. But this work is flawed in that there are some... This work, however, is flawed, though, in some of the dating and etymology methods. Mm-hmm. Another notable work is the Dictionary of American Slang in 1960, and then after that, the Historical Dictionary of American Slang in 1994, and that is still going on to this day. The last one is the largest and most comprehensive work of its kind to date for American slang, and it's also the one I'm most familiar with, since I did some work with them.
Okay, so that's all very interesting. So can you tell us how one goes about documenting slang?
Well, first you need to find words that you think are slang. You can take a text, such as a magazine, and read through it, looking for words that you might expect to be slang. Most slang words stand out from the standard words around them. Once you've found a word that you think is slang, you can then look through some more mainstream dictionaries that generally document standard words such as Webster's and the OED. If the word is in those dictionaries, there's a good chance it isn't slang but more accepted into standard English. If the word isn't there, you should then be sure that the word isn't some form of regionalism or jargon. A good way to do this is search the internet and see how many hits it produces and how it is used. If the word seems to span across regions, classes, and such, then you can probably consider it slang and get to work defining it, which is itself quite a task.
What are the criteria that are considered when coming up with a definition for a slang word?
Well, similar to that of any other word, you have to consider the part of speech, the number of senses it has, and what the most popular senses are.
And how does the process of recording slang dictionaries compare to that of historical dictionaries?
If you're doing a historical dictionary, you would go a step beyond merely defining the word and you would find citations that exemplify the given definitions. The most productive method for doing this nowadays is internet searching. From the internet, you can search newspapers from today on back to the early 19th century, and probably even further. You can also search millions of books from all periods. This can give you very good citations across centuries, depending on the age of the word, that hopefully illustrate the historical life of the word.
So what problems arise when one is documenting slang?
Well, slang is considered trivial by some and so not worth documenting. Therefore, support and money are not always readily available. It is also worth noting how long a slang word has been used, because if it was only 2 or 3 years old, it might not be worth including in the dictionary because it may not actually last in a language. It is important that the word be productive and stay in the language for years, and slang words have a tendency to come a fad and then fall out.
Mm-hmm. So what do you feel the benefits of using slang dictionaries would be?
I think it's important to have histories of words because we use words all the time to communicate. Slang words are equally worth knowing because they too are part of our language, not just some vulgar subset we hide away. Also, it's good for those who are learning our language.
At this time, I'd like to introduce an interview I conducted with a non-native English speaker from Colombia, and she's going to give us her opinions on the usefulness or not usefulness of slang dictionaries. All right, and are you familiar with slang dictionaries at all and how they are different from regular dictionaries?
Yes, a friend of mine has one of those dictionaries and I look into it. It was very interesting.
How did you find that it was interesting?
Because you can, okay, if you are in an environment with native speakers, mm-hmm. English native speakers, you sometimes it's difficult to understand the things that they are talking about. So the slang, as a slang dictionary, is very useful.
Have you ever actually heard a word in a sentence or a conversation and then went to look it up?
Yes, and sometimes you didn't find anything.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to learn where the slang is. You know that it's different in New York, it's different in Chicago, it's different in Madison.
Okay.
It depends of the city of the state.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. So overall, you find that slang dictionaries can be useful.
Yeah, very useful for people. It's especially for people who has to be in touch with common people, not mm-hmm. like people with high knowledge, like people with
well educated
people, not with the common people. You have to know how the people actually talk.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend them to other ESL students?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, thank you for your opinions, and now let's get back to our interview with Scott. What are some current projects in the field of slang lexicography?
The Historical Dictionary of American Slang is one major project in the field right now. Like the OED, HDAS, as it's called, seeks to document not just the definition of a word, but also the word's historical usage through citations. It is an important piece of work for the field of lexicography, especially slang lexicography. But despite its importance, funding is an issue for this dictionary, as it is for many dictionaries. Aside from major works like this, there are other works of slang lexicography being done. Many people have probably heard of at least one slang dictionary based on the internet, such as the Urban Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
They are interesting and sometimes useful, but one should be wary of these works since they are not necessarily reviewed for accuracy and therefore not always reliable.
I see. Well, that's some good advice. So since you have experience working on slang dictionaries, I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on the differences between the Dictionary of American Regional English, the one that's being created here at the university, and the Historical Dictionary of American Slang, the one that you said is being worked on in New York. For example, what are the purposes and goals of each one?
Well, the Dictionary of American Regional English, which is called DARE for short, seeks to document regionalisms, which are basically words that are separated within dialects by socioeconomic class or ethnicity, and basically words that just belong to certain groups but not to every group,
mm-hmm.
or at least started out in certain groups but now belong to every group.
Okay.
And the Historical Dictionary of American Slang, which is also called HDAS, it seeks to document words that have a broader usage, not just within dialects or classes or ethnicities. So it looks for words that aren't dialect vocabularies, but words that are disseminated across boundaries. And basically, it seeks for words that are in between standard English and dialect words.
Well, thank you, Scott, for that clarification, and that about sums us up. So I'd like to thank you again for serving as our expert today. I learned a lot from you. I didn't know that much about slang dictionaries until you became my partner for this project. So thank you again for all your information, and thank you for listening, and we'll hope to hear from you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.